The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Turn your Bibles to Galatians 5, verse 22. 22 begins with, but the fruit of the Spirit is, but. That word but is kind of cool because it's transition. And now, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Last week, we opened our time together by asking the question, what is the secret to life? Although mankind might look to gurus or rabbis, pastors or philosophers, thinkers, shakers and movers, and even rock stars, movie stars, we determined last week the answer to that question was and still is this. The only one who truly explains life to us is the one who came to be life for us. Remember what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? Purpose of life, right there. In this second part of a two-part series message entitled Secrets of the Fruit of the Spirit, in our time together this morning, I will share the last four of the six secrets to the fruit of the Spirit. If you remember last week, we went through two of them. And as God's children, we so desperately need to produce that fruit, don't we? Of course, found this message then is found in John 15. And so we read our text this morning. Now let's go to John 15 and conclude the message. If you're there, give me a hearty amen. Well, if you were with us last week, we examined the first two of six, which were again, number one, in review, the secret of life, if you remember, recorded in John 15, 16, in which Jesus himself declared what the secret of life was, bearing fruit. And then we shared that fruit actually was, well, revealed in what we just read in Galatians. You know, the love, actually. Now, please remember this, as we spoke last week. In the original language, when Paul said that the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, the implication is that then joy, peace, and self-control, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, long-suffering, and self-control all describe what true love actually is. My question today, and there's no life lesson on this one, but my question is, are we producing that kind of fruit within us? Are we? And the love that we show, is it described by those attributes, those things we just said? I would, if I was you guys, go home and just list that, put it somewhere in every day, do an inventory. Okay, I say that I love my wife. I say that I love my husband. I love my children. I love other brothers and sisters. And is this love qualifying these joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control? Is it exemplifying that? Because if it's not, is it really love? Oh, we say, I love you, baby. True love is these that we just spoke about last week and this week. These that are manifested within us should be then propagated unto others' lives and make a difference. Now, after establishing the importance of fruit bearing, because actually, that's exactly what the meaning of life is, fruit bearing. Paul said that the importance of fruit bearing, we then understood fruit bearing in our lives, and the fruit of itself is not primarily for us. And the secret of, yes, of course, fruit-bearing, which was found in John 15:4 last week, again, was the secret of abiding in Jesus. If you're going to bear fruit, you've got to abide in Christ. We have to know that. It told us in 15:4 that we must abide in Christ if we're going to bear fruit. We must. Or just hanging out with Christ. Last week, we identified three marks of one who is abiding in the Lord. You know, you might consider yourself abiding in God, and you're bearing fruit. But I find that when I look at these three marks in my life, it really reveals a lot. It takes all the chuck and jive out of the equation. What are they? Well, the three marks of one who truly is abiding is, first of all, there will be production of fruit. Not maybe, not later, not, well, once there was, but there will be, and that will be is a constant bearing of fruit. There is production of fruit, found in John 15:5. Number two, there will be receivable correction from God. Can we receive correction from God? Now, it might be through your spouse, it might be through a pastor, it might be just through the Word of God, but if you're abiding, there'll be production of fruit, and there will be receivable correction. So if a person says, I'll bear all kinds of fruit, but I'm never corrected because I'm perfect, they're lying. Or they're mistaken. Or they're using the truth recklessly. Number three, and there's fruit in their prayers. You will have fruit in your prayers. Now, every prayer won't be answered, possibly. Maybe so. But at least there will be some fruit in your prayers. Have you ever went through this equation that you pray, nothing happens, or you just didn't get what, and then you pray, and then it's like, well, God, it must not be in your will or something. And then all of a sudden, you pray about something else. It came through. It came true. God bless me. Oh, my goodness. And we're all excited. And we tell everyone, hey, I prayed this. And guess what? Man, I got blessed. And it was, no. Dang, it should be the other way around. It should be like, well, I prayed, and this time I didn't hear anything. Normally, I hear from God every time. You understand what I'm saying? A story. Elijah. He sees this lady coming up that he had blessed with a child, and the child was dead. She picks him up. She brings him up to Elijah, and Elijah sees her coming, and he says to his servant, he says, run down there and find out what this lady needs, because normally God speaks to me, but this time he hasn't. We get blown out of the water when God does speak to us. And usually it was like, well, God, I don't know the will of God. God hasn't spoke to me. No. The norm is for us, man, if we're abiding in him, we need to be knowing what he's saying to us. We need to be right there with him. No, maybe not 100% of the time. So in light of the review of last week, the obvious question this morning is, then what is, as we're progressively stepping through these secrets, the third secret, the secret of abiding. Then what is the secret of abiding? If you say the secret of fruit bearing is abiding, then what? How do we abide? Tell me, please, how do we abide? The answer is found in John 15:10. I'll read it for you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Oh, that's awesome. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Wow, Lord, that's kind of heavy. So what is the secret or the process of abiding? Of course, our text, Jesus himself, says obeying. Did you catch that? 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, if you obey me, he says, obeying. Simply doing what the Lord is telling you to do at any given moment, at any given time. This principle we're talking about. What principle? Abiding. This principle, then, let's look at a story in the Old Testament found in 1 Samuel chapter 15. I did all that God told me to do. I wiped out all the Amalekites, boasted King Saul. Then he said, guy standing with you, asked Samuel, the God's prophet. Well, Saul replies, him? Oh, he's their king. I brought him back as a trophy, along with a few sheep that we're going to sacrifice. Well, the story continues, and Samuel says, oh, Saul, don't you know that to obey is better than sacrifice? That disobedience is a sin of witchcraft, found in 1 Samuel 15. Isn't it so true, gang? Please hear my heart. I'm right here with you guys. I'm no martyr. I'm just saying, hear my heart. And plus, it's a great principle for the Christian life. And to boot, it's our first life lesson this morning. Whatever we don't deal with in obedience will return to destroy us. Did you catch that? And I think most of you, especially maybe older, will go, oh boy, isn't that true? I should have dealt with that a long time ago. You see, folks, years later in our story, as Saul lay dying in the battle of Mount Gilboa, the last words he heard were those of his slayer saying, hello, Saul, I am an Amalekite. True story. Look it up there in 2 Samuel 18. Wow. What do you suppose when he heard that went through Saul's mind before he died? You think maybe, I should obey God. I should have killed them all. Because you see, he didn't kill the king. The king, before Samuel took matters into his own hands by God's direction, the king there stayed in Saul's palace for a year or so. And during that time, yes, he fathered from a servant there a son, an Amalekite son. And that's the Amalekite that stared Saul in the face and said, hello, Saul. Your worst nightmare is about to happen. Obedience is the key to abiding. Because if we don't obey, well, you know, it just may happen. An Amalekite will be produced within us that will eventually rise up and destroy us. Now, number four, the secret of obeying. You know, okay, Pastor, I get it. Obedience is the key to abiding. But man, I just have a problem with obeying. I've had a problem from obeying since I was a little tyke when my mom and dad used to put me in the corner. What is the secret of obeying? That's found there this time in chapter 14 instead of 15. If you're taking notes, verse 23. And let's read that. Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, if anyone loves me, shall I say it again? He will keep my word, and my Father will love him too, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We need to love him. And so, what's the secret to obeying? Discipline? Fear? Intimidation? Control? Legalism? No. No, according to our Lord, it's love. Simply love. You know, I can get my kids, I can get my wife to do much, much more if they know I love them than being a dictator. They just can't. Love moves mountains. Love moves hearts. Love moves emotions, folks. You think you can get, and look, I tried the other way. Don't work. And sometimes I still try. And then I kind of get in the middle of that. I feel the blood boiling. I start to get loud. And then if my wife doesn't remind me I'm getting loud, the Lord does. I back off. And I just take a breath. And then I devise a plan to love them. And I ask God to show me the plan to love them. And when I do, and they feel love, I don't even have to ask them to do anything. They just do it. It's an amazing, amazing principle. Now notice with me, Jesus didn't say if a man loved me, he should keep my words. Or he had better keep my words. No. No. What did he say? He said, if a man loved me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. Isn't it true, folks? Haven't you experienced it even for yourself? Life lesson 2 tells us obedience is no problem if you love someone. I mean, if you really, really love someone, hey, you're dating someone, you're engaged to someone. You know? I can remember being in love like that. Honey, would you stress about that? Sure, honey, anything. You know, isn't it a little sickening? Come on. My youngest daughter, and she started dating her boyfriend. It's like, we took a trip somewhere, and she was driving. I let her drive, she was driving, and they were holding hands like this. And they're, babe, hey, would you roll the window up, babe? Sure, babe. It was so sickening. I almost threw up in the back seat. But that's the way it is, isn't it? When you really, really, truly love someone, there's no problem with obedience, is there? You go to the ends of the world for him. In truth, Saul had no love for God. None. That's why obedience was so difficult for him. You understand that, please. In fact, or rather, the fact of the matter is that Saul did not want to yield to God. Saul wanted to yield to his own flesh. His way, not God's way. Folks, at the end of the day, Saul loved himself more than he loved God. And so too for us. It could be a life lesson question. I don't know. I didn't put it down. But do we sometimes join Saul in that mindset? Oh, I know I do. Got to catch myself. Got to ask God, Lord, I need to abide more. I need the obedience instead of letting my flesh roll. Well, number 5 is, of course, what is the secret of loving? If the whole thing then comes down to loving, what is the secret of loving? Well, revealed in by Jesus, of course, in John 15:15. Let's read it. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know, circle that word know, please, what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, it's interesting, after he resurrects from the dead, he calls us brothers. That's pretty cool, huh? We are servants, friends, brother. That's just another progression of a message in itself. Jesus declares, it's knowing. It's knowing. Look, this is fabulous. You got to catch this. And I don't know if you think it's fabulous or not. I did. This word knowing is the same, in the same context and in the same verbiage in the Greek, in the original language, that you see when Paul says, husbands, know your wife. You know what that means? It means study your wife. Study her. Because if you study her, you get to know her, you love her more. It's just the way it is. You understand her more. You live with her with understanding. I don't know one dude that marries and says, oh, I understand her big time. That ain't happening. You got to study that woman. I'm telling you right now. If you think that you can't study a woman and you can just fly by the seat of your pants, fellas, that's a long, dark, lonely road. You'll never get to the end of that road. You need to study her, God says. So you can live with her with some sort of understanding. Because your life will be miserable. Same word. No. No. So, secret of loving, Jesus declares, is knowing. Knowing what? Knowing what? Well, Jesus explains it like this. I've let you know all that I know, he says. What I have heard from my Father, I've shared with you in his word. You see, folks, there's no secrets. And even, that's what the Gnostics came out with. And even some, churches, I guess, or people I've heard, especially back in the hippie days, they come out and go, ooh, we got the deeper things of God. And if you come over to our little Bible study, we will discuss the deeper things of God, things that no one else. No, do you think God keeps that from you? Absolutely not. The deeper things of God are right here, because I'll read one scripture and it can go so deep that it'll last a lifetime. We'll never fully dissect and understand the Word of God. Never. Until we get to heaven. So he has no deep secrets that no one else knows but a certain sect of people. It's all here. Jesus said he gave it all to us. Gang, isn't it true that the old adage says familiarity breeds contempt? Now, I find that is only true regarding contemptible objects like us. In short, the law is that the longer we know people, the greater the chance we'll be disappointed in them. Isn't that so true? Well, the good news is not so with the Lord. No. Life lesson number 3 tells us the longer we know him, the more impressed we are with him. The deeper we go with him in his word, the more we get to know him. Just like our wives, you know, we marry him, the more we get to know him, fellas, the more we're impressed with him, the more we fall in love with him. The same is true here in the scriptures. That's an awesome life lesson, by the way. Please remember that. That's why I counsel couples not to look at their spouse as their all in all. Only Jesus can fill that void. Girls, guys, now I might add, the same is true with pastors, even yours truly. Now I know it's hard to believe that even Pastor Ben can disappoint you, but I will and I can. Not on purpose, maybe. Which brings us to our 6th and final secret of the day. The secret of knowing. So if the key to loving is knowing, the question is obvious. Thereby, how do I know him? Amen? Yeah. How do I know him? Well, gang, if you have been part of this body for any time at all, you already know the answer. Knowing him means taking in his word. Taking in his word. Receiving his word, just as you're doing right now. You're knowing him. You're getting to know him. And I have discovered it's also progressively exponential. You know what that means? That the more that you do, the more that you do. It expands. 2 becomes 4, 4 becomes 8. The more we take his word in, the more we know him. The more that we know him, the more that we love him. The more that we love him, and on and on. Look, friends, believe me, I know it would be tons easier for you to be at the beach or watching the playoffs, having church at the same time. But the fact that you're studying the word proves that you already know what it takes to know God. The fact is that we're studying the word proves that, hey, we're already doing what God has asked us to do to get to know him. Proverbs 24, it's a very interesting proverb there. It gives us a great insight to this principle. Walking by a once productive vineyard that had become covered with thorns, grown over, Solomon stopped to see what had brought this tremendous vineyard to its demise, brought about its decline. His conclusion? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands. Folks, don't you see the proverb here is for us? The same is true for the believer. Doesn't it make perfect sense that the longer we walk with the Lord, it tends to give us the greater temptation to say, oh man, haven't we been to plenty of church meetings? It's the same old. And morning devotions. In fact, in my opinion, I've done them long enough. I don't need the fellowship anymore. As we fold our hands and slip away into slumberland. Well, we need to wake up. Because then what happens? The walls break down, the thorns creep in, and the fruit dries up. We have no fruit. And remember what the secret of life is? Jesus said, bearing fruit. You got to know him. You cannot slumber and sleep. Saints, please don't let that happen. And the secret to bear fruit, again, is progressive. is to abide in Him. The secret of abiding is obedience. And the secret to obedience is love. And the secret of love is knowledge of Him. And the secret of knowledge is just to do what you're doing right now, studying intently His Word every day. And so, stay the course, pilgrim. Be sure we need to exemplify these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. Because sure as return of our Lord will be very soon, I believe, you'll see fruit produced in you in a way that will, well, not only bless others, but that will bring great satisfaction to you as well. Amen?
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.